can have a look at Titus. And I've told you that early because now you can find it. We're going to be in Titus in chapter 3. Alistair and Jack will, of course, have it on the screen, I hope. But we've been remembering so far this month, and that, I guess that word remember sums up, first of all, the beginning of November, and because of the fact that I've started with remember for the first two Sundays in November, and they rhyme, honestly, you've got to help me this morning because I need your help, all right? So remember in November, they rhyme. Do you remember that from primary school? Yeah, well done. Very good. So because I've started with the first 2 weeks, it seems daft to change. So we're going to stick with remembering, okay? Now the first two weekends have gone in November. You think, well, what am I remembering? You're remembering that Christmas is really close, all right? Really close. You've got to remember where you've put the decorations. You've got to remember all those changes that you said you were going to do last year that you've completely forgot about. And now you're thinking, oh no, yes, we were indeed going to change. I bought one gold bauble, so now I have to buy everything gold. Is this just my house or is this everybody else's?
Everybody else's.
Oh, good, good, good. I was panicking for a second. So, of course, if you've changed the colour, you better remember that you've got to indeed do just that. So Christmas is just around the corner, which I find bizarre, and Kev's already mentioned it this morning, because I promise you, last week it was March. Anybody else notice that? What on earth has happened? How has this year gone so quick? I don't know whether it's all this post-pandemic nonsense, but since that point, everything seems to go really fast. It's not age-related, is it? No, Matthew. Elizabeth, no. For goodness sake. Can't possibly be age-related. Anyway, it is Christmas very, very soon. But I do want us to continue with the theme of remembering. And like last week, it's Paul again this week. But this time, he's in Titus. So Paul writing a letter to Titus to remind us, to remind him, to remind him, to remind us. You still with me? To remind people that we have to remember in order to help others. In order to do that, church, we have to remember. Hopefully that makes some kind of sense, but if it doesn't, all will become very clear. I think it always helps us to just remember, firstly, who we are. But if you, I guess, for those that got saved later in life, you can perhaps look back a little bit further and go, well, I remember how I was, and now I can see who I am. And sometimes it makes it clearer for us to remember what God has called us from, who's called us into, and you can reflect on who you once were. And none of this is meant to be in a negative way, but rather it's a good exercise, and just a brief exercise, it's nothing too tasking, to enable us to push on. And to this point, that's what we've seen with remembering, that's exactly what happens. That if we remember and we recall what God has done for us, we recall what we've been saved from and what we've been saved to, that helps us to get on to the next stage. To say, right, God, I can face the week ahead because of what you've done for me. I can face the week ahead because of who I am in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've seen so far over the last 2 weeks. We've looked and remembered. And as we have, we've realised, I hope anyway, over this past few weeks, we've realised all our blessing. And that, church, is in itself encouraging. But also it encourages us to press on for Christ, to push forward. And not dissimilar here, as we're going to look in Titus and chapter 3. Paul here writes in that way for us to remember, but Paul does something different here, and we're going to focus on the other side of it, that Paul here doesn't just remind us where we've come from or what we were, he reminds us to what we're not. Okay? And that will become very clear, and that's going to be our focus this morning, that Paul reminds us to remember what we are not. This is the church, Christians. So let's go ahead and read Titus chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. It's only a short reading. I'll read it and then we'll pray. We'll ask the Lord to just open up our hearts and our minds so that we can see what he's got to say to us this morning. It says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, comma, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards people you like." Oh, sorry, to everyone. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things," Paul says, "are excellent and profitable for everyone." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again just want to thank you for your word this morning. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to us through it. Father, as we've read your word together, as the church, Father, collectively, we thank you that we have this word. Father, we thank you that we have the complete canon of Scripture. And Father, all of these things that are here are to prove our faith. Father, to push us on for you. Father, to know and understand your love for us. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just open up our hearts, our minds, our ears. Lord, that we will be ready. We will be receptive to what you've got to say to us. And Father, we will push on for you. Speak to us, Father. Speak through me, I pray. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, our first word here, as we've read in Titus, is to remind. And in the Greek, this word is in the present tense, okay? So, to remind somebody, but in the present tense, it's almost to go on reminding them. To go on reminding them. That's how it translates in the Greek. Now, why does that matter, you'd say? Well, our heading, as we'll see in the NIV, if you've got an NIV Bible and you've got the joy of having headings above each chapter or each section within the chapter, you get this lovely little heading, subheading or heading that tells you essentially what the next part of the letter is about. And this title is brilliant. Saved in order to do good. Okay? Saved in order to do good. It's not always how we think about being saved, is it? Because I could say, well, I'm saved because of what Christ has done for me. I'm saved, redeemed, set free. One day I will see my Saviour face to face. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely correct. But now I can sit on my deck chair and wait until the Lord returns. You see, it says here, saved in order to do good. So I've been saved, but now there's an action to that. There's an action that comes from that. There's a response that happens because of that. And that's why, as the Greek shows us, that to go on reminding this particular section, go on reminding, if we piece it all together, keep reminding them to do good. Anybody else need reminding to do good? Oh, I know I do. And that I know that's not just me as well. I have to be reminded continually to do good, to bite your tongue, to not jump in, to not be offensive or rude. Because sometimes I feel like it. Don't judge me. You're all the same. You harsh bunch. I saw your eyes. But in reality, we have to be reminded continually to do good. And for us, maybe we don't have a conversation with somebody during the day because it's just one of those days. How are we going to continually push ourselves to go on reminding ourselves to make sure that we don't jump in, that we're not rude, that we're not disrespectful? Well, we have to keep recalling to our mind's eye what Christ has done for us. First we remember, and then we're able. And that's really been the whole theme, and that's the key here. We're saved in order to do good, and I need reminding continually. And if you think perhaps this morning, well, Matt, I'll be honest with you, you know, you might need that. I've seen that in you. You're not very nice. But that's not me. I'm ever so polite, I'm considerate, I care, I'm never rude to anybody. Let's test the water, shall we? Let's see what the verses say. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. But I don't like the government. This is not a personal opinion. This is just a statement. And I could say, well, I didn't vote them in. I'm not interested in them. So I'm not going to do what they say because they drive me up the wall. You know, you've never said that, I know. Remind the people to be subject, what? To rulers and authorities. Let's continue. To be obedient. Really? To be obedient. Who here loves to be obedient? My children do. To be obedient and to be ready to do whatever is good, even when it doesn't suit me. You see, now all of a sudden, there's like a moment of reflection. Where we go, well, I do try to be nice and I do try to be good, but in reality, there are times when I do get a little bit annoyed. There are times when somebody cuts me up in the traffic and I feel like they should have both barrels. If only I were brave enough to wind my window down. Nobody else has got a window winder, have they? You've all got a button. Them were the days. But here, Paul is reminding Titus to remind the people that there is a way that we as the church should be living. Saved, remember, in order to do good. Saved in order to be good, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. And there are, of course, reasons why we shouldn't be at times if it goes against what the word says. But I'm talking on the most part of how we step into tomorrow. And the fact that Paul backs this whole piece up here is to be ready to do whatever is good. And now, of course, there's quiet in our hearts. Because that's not always easy. It doesn't say to do quiet and to do good, to be ready to do whatever is good when the rulers and authorities that are in power are the ones that you like and that you voted for. It doesn't say to be obedient to things that you feel are necessary. Remember, it said to be ready to do whatever is good. And he brings it home with verse 2. To slander no one. Oh, okay. You're judging me again. To be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. To slander no one. To be peaceable and considerate. And these things are fine when you've got a full stomach and lots of energy, aren't they? Not when you're hangry and tired. You've got to work with me here. I know it's hard, but this is the reality. This is for us to learn and to grow from. So there are moments, perhaps during the week, where like this is what I do, this is who I am. But there are also times in the week that I know full well that this is not the heart. The heart is quite different to this. And we're not so confident, perhaps, when things aren't going our way. What if, perhaps, if I think about it, well, I can be upset and I can say what I want to say because I've never met these people. Now we bring it into 2023, because the internet's a wonderful thing, is it not? Yeah? Yeah. Now, I can have a pseudonym and nobody ever know it's me. I can say what I want, do what I want, have an opinion on everything. And if we're not careful, we slip out of saved in order to do good. Just because people don't know it's you, doesn't mean God doesn't know it's you. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Just because people don't know it's you, does not mean that God does not know it's you. And the internet, if we're not careful, can be a dangerous place, something that we can hide behind to do and to say what we want, to share our opinions, whether they're kind or they're disrespectful. It doesn't really matter. I'll share it anyway, because that's what you can do, because that's the internet. And I don't get the vibe here that Paul has any sort of caveats to what he's saying. You know, be subject, but only if. You know, be kind and peaceable, but only if they're nice to you. There's no sort of caveats with it. He's absolute. There's no grey area. This is what he's saying. That we are to be, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. There is no messing with what he's saying. Value others, whoever they are, whatever their situation, their job, wherever they're from, that we value people, that we love people, that we care for people. And you say, well, how can I do that all the time? And we can only do that if we remember. Listen to verse 3 through 7. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. If we remember what Paul is writing there, if we bring to mind what God has done for us, all because of God's love, we are who we are. Verse 5, again, because of what God has done for us, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And you go, well, the righteous things that I've done, it's not going to help me, because they don't exist. Because let's just go back to what we once were in verse 3. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We were slaves to sin. So church, when we realise that we were on the opposite route to God, that we weren't interested in God, that we weren't looking for God, in fact we were going in our own direction, and God stepped in, the but God moment, I was on my way to a Christless eternity, but God. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. But God stepped into my life and saved me. He stepped into my life and I've received all that God has on offer through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was on the opposite path and God saved me. And church, when we think about the opposite path, it's all of that above and so much more. I didn't desire a relationship with God. I was enslaved by sin. But God loved me enough to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take my place on the cross. So now I can receive righteousness, not because of good behaviour, but because of what Christ has done for me. The but God moment is huge. So that means that God loved me even though I didn't love him. God was willing to send Jesus for me even though I didn't want a relationship with him. I was going the opposite direction and God said, here's my perfect son to take your place, Matt. So when I look at the world around me, I can't possibly, can I? We can't possibly, can we? Look at it through eyes of going, well, look how bad they are. Look at what they've done. I don't do that. No, surely We look at the world around about us and we go, God, please help me to reach them. Help me to love them. Help me to share the gospel, the good news of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to step in and to help. You know, church, that's the mindset. And it swings everything around about. But we have to remember what we've been saved from in order to know what we can do for the Lord. In order, saved, remember, in order to do good. To reach people for Christ. And I mentioned it last week. And if you can't do it just by showing, then use words. Tell people that we have to show them by the way we live. And we have to reach them by sharing with them the gospel. We were given, church, what we don't deserve. Mercy, we were given what we were not given what we do deserve. And grace, we were given what we do not deserve. The grace and mercy of God was freely given to you and me. And we don't deserve any of it. And if that's how God operates with him, with us, and we're his children, should that not be the same for us, how we operate with the world? That God was willing to give his best for us who didn't deserve it. Are we not his children? So if we are, then, we operate in such a way where we give to the world as God has given to us. Let's just have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. And let's just see what the Word has got to say to us about that situation. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you can put your name there. Therefore, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. And the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. If you're an underliner or a highlighter, highlight that verse. Not counting people's sins against them. And he has commanded us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen, this is now then who we are in Christ. As we've accepted Christ the Saviour, we are a new creation. The old has gone, Paul's reminded us of that, and the new has come. And now then we have a responsibility because we're saved, remember, to do good. So now I've accepted Christ the Saviour, I step into this new life that he's given me, that I want to reach people for Christ. You have to remember to act as you've been called. But also you have to remember too, to see what we're not. And this is where we've been heading. Verse 3, remember, foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by sin at one time. Not now. We're talking present, now, in this moment. These are things that we were, church. It's not who we are now, amen? It's who we were, it's not who we are. And that is for us to call to mind. We are not that anymore. We are not in those moments anymore. We are not enslaved by sin. We don't have to be enslaved by sin. Should I say that one again? We don't have to be enslaved by sin. Thank you, Joel. We don't have to be enslaved by sin. It's done with. Christ is enough. Love has won. Sin and death have been defeated. So it's a defeated foe. So I don't need to be subject to it anymore. I can throw it off. And I can do that by remembering who I am. I can do that by remembering whose I am. I can do that by stepping into tomorrow with everything in mind of what Christ has done for me. And I can serve him wholeheartedly, not sat on a deck chair waiting for his return. But I can do that with a heart that says, God, I want you to help me to do good, to serve you, to love your world, and to reach people for Christ. 5:17, just again in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. But we are Christ's ambassadors. So when we step out into tomorrow, we don't go out with slander and disappointment at the world and all that's going on. And yes, we can be upset and a little bit disappointed. That doesn't mean we have to slander everybody and everything around about us. In actual fact, we can stand up for the Lord and say, do you know, I know because of what Christ has done for me that I have a hope that one day I'll see my Saviour face to face. I have a hope that says it might look like it's bad now, but God is in control. I have a hope that says that I am His, that He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. Can I share that good news with you? Can I share some good news with you in a world where there doesn't seem to be any good news? Can I share that good news with you? We're Christ's ambassadors. We're not out there appealing for people to go, wow, you're a wonderful person. We want people to see Jesus, amen? We want people to see Jesus. Remember, we have to remember that we are not that. We are not the old order of things. The old has gone, the new has come. We remember that we represent the King of Kings, amen? We represent the King of Kings. We remember His great love and mercy for us, His grace that He's poured out upon us so abundantly. Church, we're to pursue peace. We're to love people. We're to be gentle and kind. We're to shine, remember, last week, to shine like stars. That's what we've been called to do. And verse 8, to devote ourselves to doing good, back in Titus chapter 3. We devote ourselves to doing good, but not just that. Paul is encouraging Titus to remember to aid those around about him to do this. So it's not just you, it's you having an impact on the world around you. Remember, we are saved in order to do good. So first I remember, first I know who I am and whose I am, and then there's a responsibility to step into tomorrow that says, because I know who I am, I can step into tomorrow and I can do good for the Lord. I can serve Him. I can tell people about my Saviour. I can share with them all that He's done for me. Paul is encouraging Titus to remember, but to aid those around him. And we should do exactly the same, helping our brothers and our sisters in Christ, spurring each other on, supporting each other, encouraging one another to do good, to share the gospel. Is there anybody at work that you haven't yet shared the gospel with? Is there somebody at work who's got a question? Somebody at school or at university or college that's just shown an interest and wants to know why you go to church on a Sunday? Why? How can we share? How can we love people? How can we step into tomorrow with that mindset that says, God, I'm thankful for what you've done. Lord, help me to do good for you. Reaching out to each other in the church and reaching the world together. Amen? That's what we're called to do with God's guidance and the Holy Spirit's help. Go on reminding. We are His, and that means we're not of this world. But it does mean that we should absolutely share with them the good news about our Saviour. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you again this morning for your word, Father, for its blessing and its encouragement. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would just speak into our hearts over the coming hours and days ahead, Father, that you would help us to remember, to recall to mind all that you've done for us. And that, Father God, that we would step into tomorrow ready to serve you, to do good, Father, to love one another, and to share the good news about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you now. We pray, Lord, as we continue in our worship together, that you would bless us and encourage us. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.